Welcome to Campfire, connecting primary producers. Campfire provides a solution-focused community for farmers and fishers to improve work systems and support mentally healthy workplaces.
Farming can be incredibly rewarding, but unfortunately also isolating. Farmers usually work on their own, and in Australia, where the distances between neighbours and towns can often be vast, farmers can end up feeling both physically and mentally isolated. Arguably, that's become the case even more so in recent years due to COVID restrictions. So how then can that sense of isolation and its often debilitating effects be overcome? G'day, I'm Drew Radford, and today in the Campfire Studio, we're going to look into this and hopefully find some solutions with the assistance of Darren Devlin, Councillor and Community Representative with Rural Aid. Darren, thanks for your time.
Oh, it's great to be here. Thanks for taking time out to talk to me.
Darren, you're not from a farming background. You work with farmers now and rural and remote communities. I understand, though, you grew up in a city, but that's not where you wanted to be.
Yeah, no, I was born in Perth, spent the first 17 years of my life there in the northern suburbs. I love Western Australia and love Perth, but as far back as I can remember, all I ever wanted to do was get out of the city and get into the bush. I love the bush. I love Australia's countryside. It's beautiful.
I understand you became kind of a modern-day swaggy.
Well, yeah, in a sense. I worked my way pretty much up the east coast of Australia during the 90s, various jobs working on farms, picking fruit, fencing, that kind of stuff, general dog's body pretty much. Most of my life up until going back to school, I was a labourer.
You mentioned there before you went back to study, so obviously the swaggy thing wasn't quite working out and you decided you needed to do something else. Why did you choose counselling?
I have my own history. I mean, pretty much anyone that goes into the helping profession, counselling, psychology, welfare work, generally come with their own background and their own story for why they got there. Basically, I guess I've had a bit of a checkered past and put my life back together. Had a drinking problem, went through domestic violence. I was a victim of domestic violence, eventually got out of that relationship and thought that I could do something better with my life, and I guess supporting people was a good way to make something positive out of all the negatives in my life. It kind of gave all that conflict and trauma a reason.
That's a really honest and upfront description. And now you've merged that with really your background of travelling around rural and regional Australia. And you work for an organisation called Rural Aid. What do you do in that role?
What I like to say is, when I'm introducing myself, I basically say Rural Aid's a not-for-profit, non-government organisation that's funded by commercial and private sponsorship and donors. Our aim is to see that no Aussie farmer goes unsupported, and what that support looks like is pretty well individualised and tailored to the farmer's needs. It kind of does leave a fair bit of open area for us to make sure that the farmers and their families and their communities get the support they need.
It is very open-ended, Darren, but the area today we want to delve into is discussing isolation. What is it? More importantly, how to deal with it. So, isolation. It's Australia. It's a big country, but we're not focusing necessarily on the physical distance. Why is it a bad thing?
Human beings are a social creature by nature. We need to feel connected. We need to feel a part of something. Everyone has a different rating on that scale of how much input and interaction they need. Some people are quite happy to be on their own. There's a fella I was working with out Gippsland Way. He is a mountain cattleman, and he'll go out into the bush with his cows for weeks on end, and he says he loves his own space. He likes being alone. He likes being out there with the cows, but he does miss interaction with other people. So it's, I guess, an innate human quality to want to be around other people. It's also a way that we replenish our stock of energy within us, our reason for being, I guess, depending how spiritual you want to get on that.
What you're kind of describing there is a bit of it's okay, but a lot of it for most of us is not such a good thing. And that's becoming an increasingly difficult thing with farms getting bigger and towns getting smaller, I guess.
Yeah. And the social interaction between people, because the towns are getting smaller, is falling away. You know, a lot of farmers used to rely on going to the livestock exchanges and open days and fates and all that sort of stuff in the community. A lot of that stuff doesn't happen, and a lot of it just disappeared during COVID, unfortunately, which created a whole another headache for people who are already finding it hard to socialise, to be able to fill that need.
COVID, that big disaster there that you mentioned, but there's other local disasters too, which add to that sense of isolation. How do they impact on that? Things like floods and fires.
From the very basic end, trying to recover from something like that, you're spending a lot of time on the land, replacing fences, restocking, resowing, just the general getting on with the business. So that takes up a lot of your time. You no longer have the time to get off the farm. From what I'm finding, a lot of farmers are prioritising that physical aspect, the physical recovery, and they'll deal with the mental, the emotional, the psychological recovery later. Unfortunately, it doesn't always work that way because, as anybody knows, there's always something else to do. So, you know, it's kind of makes it a little bit more difficult for people to get back to what they used to do. And I suppose to some extent, because of the disaster, a lot of places, for a flood, for example, we've just seen the devastating floods up in New South Wales. A lot of the community organisations and community buildings are just not there anymore. So the physical aspect of being able to go into town and go and meet people has been taken away. And then, of course, you've got the same with fires. You know, they burn through a town and destroy the town, and it can cause segregation rather than connection. So people are too busy trying to recover their own property, whereas in the past they may have been there to help the neighbour over the back fence or down the road.
Darren, let's move on from some of the issues then to what are some of the solutions. So what's some of the work that you do as rural aid to try and overcome the problems caused by isolation?
I speak with people, and I guess that kind of eases that psychological block of having time to speak to people. I actually talk to farmers now, and I have farmers say, I'm sorry, I don't have time for counselling. I've got too much work on the farm to do. Happy for you to come and have a chat, but I don't have time to sit down and do counselling. And I'll sit there with them for an hour and a half, 2 hours, have a conversation and maybe a cuppa. They'll take me out for a walk on the farm, show me the fences that they've replaced. And without realising it, they're actually engaging in the counselling process. And then from there, it just builds, and they find that they can stop in the shop and talk to people, or when they go down to buy seed or spray equipment or whatever the needs may be, they take that extra little bit of time to re-engage.
That's a really interesting description. I'm taking a couple of things out of that. The first one is, it sounds like, unfortunately, when you do phone up and reach out, potentially the title counselling is stigmatised, so you get pushed away.
Definitely. We've actually found that using the words mental health and counselling is probably a barrier to access. When I'm talking to people, I prefer to say, I'll come and have a chat, we'll talk about what your issues are, see where you need some help, and then we'll see if we can fill that need. Then they generally let you in the door. When you say, I'm here to provide mental health support, it's like, oh, no, I don't have any mental health problems, but the bloke down the road does.
You mentioned there that then they start going out and talking to, whether it's someone down at the fodder store or whatever. Is that because they just get that sense of engagement from just chatting with you to start with? Does that open the door, or is it more complex than that?
I think so. I think it opens a door. It shows them that it's okay to talk about their experience. It's okay to stop and talk. Whatever they're going through, it's okay. And that, I guess that's probably the biggest message that I like to pass on to people. It doesn't matter what you're going through, it's okay. It doesn't matter how you respond. How you respond is a natural response to a traumatic event. It's okay. I mean, there's certain things that aren't okay. It's not okay to be violent and that kind of thing. But it's okay to be sad that you lost things, and it's okay to express your sadness. Just because you're a man doesn't mean you're not allowed to be sad.
You said just because you're a man, it's not okay to be sad. That's the stigma that sometimes sits around that. And we do focus on that. Blokes are particularly bad at talking, but I imagine you deal with plenty of women as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I guess women are generally, I'm not going to be sexist here, but women are generally more vocal. It's more socially acceptable for women to sit around and have a yarn, whereas blokes, especially country fellas, this is my observation, I could be completely wrong and I'm happy to be corrected, but my observation is blokes too busy getting things done. Their job is to provide, their job is to do the hard yakka, and this feelings garbage and mental health crap that you're talking about is not for me. It may be for them city folks, but we're hard out here in the bush, which in itself is an issue because that creates a stigma, and then there's the expectation that, oh, I'm a bush fella, I've got to be hard, I can't say that I need a hand. So that's another problem that we face, I guess.
Darren, are you finding that there's a generational change at all, or is it handed down from one generation to the other in regards to viewing isolation and also dealing with it?
People in general, I guess, are more open to having discussions. I think what we see in towns is a little bit more advanced than the bloke on the farm. I think that it's just a slower process. In town, you're exposed to it a bit more, whereas out on the farm, the fact that you're isolated is actually adding to you being isolated. It makes it harder to reach out, break that stereotype, I suppose.
Darren, you mentioned that things have changed, either towns have shrunk, clubs have shut down, those opportunities to connect have reduced. What are some of the things you're suggesting to people when they do eventually open up to you and open the door to help them reconnect with others? What are some of the things that they can be considering?
First off, I would say they need to prioritise their downtime. They need to prioritise time off the farm, which means scheduling some time in the calendar to physically remove themselves from the farm, and they need to make it a priority. Socialising, that connection is it's a natural human need, and if we respond to that and we fill our need, whatever level need that is, then we become more productive, we become mentally, emotionally stronger, we become more resilient, can face things from a better, more stable footing. If we don't, we can go in the other direction. If we don't prioritise our need to connect or our want to connect, because a lot of people say they want to connect, if we don't prioritise it, then the only thing or the only person that we have to run ideas through to think about or to troubleshoot or solve problems is our own head. And if we're approaching a problem from a certain viewpoint, that viewpoint will stay in our head, and it can become that we can't see any other way than the viewpoint that we're seeing. Therefore, we lose the ability to open up to other options and possibilities, which is another aspect of my job, I guess, is to sit down and discuss those options and possibilities with people.
Darren, you mentioned there those other options and possibilities. What are some of those?
It may be that a fence has come down in a fire, it's been burnt out, and they may think that they need to rebuild that fence exactly the same and put it in exactly the same spot. By having conversations with other people, they may see that actually if we move that fence 4 foot to the left and create a bit of a barrier, we've got a bit of a fire break, for example. And I only use that as an example because it's kind of, if you think about the thinking and you put any problem to it, you keep doing something the same way, which is that mind loop. This is the way it's got to be done. And I've always done it this way, so I've always got to do it that way. Until someone or until an alternative option is provided, you will continue to do it that same way. Some of those options could be, as far as socialising goes, maybe they could have a barbecue on their property, invite, you know, neighbouring farmers over, and they can talk about what they're doing to weatherproof their property or droughtproof their property or floodproof their property or anything like that, which provides a socialisation, allows them to feel like they're actually being productive on the farm and doing something, and it brings other perspectives into the picture.
Darren, you've listed some great examples throughout this podcast. If somebody listening to this relates to it and goes, yes, I would like to find some resources that could help me more and maybe break out of this loop, where's somewhere that they could go that you'd recommend?
Well, they could reach out to us at Rural Aid. We have a website which is ruralaid.org.au. It's ruralaid.org.au. They can register with Rural Aid, and in the registration process, there's a box that you tick for a counsellor, and don't be thrown off by the term counsellor. It doesn't necessarily mean that you need someone to come and sort your mental health out. It's, like I said, it's that having a conversation and looking at options and perspectives and that kind of thing. There is also a 1300 number, 1300 327 624, which will take you to our head office, and they can certainly talk you through the process. And if you're in Gippsland, you can contact me. My mobile number is 0477 958 065. We do have another 15 versions of me around Australia. If you certainly rang head office, they would be able to put you in contact with the appropriate person in the appropriate state.
Darren, you're doing amazing work helping primary producers around the country. Thank you for taking the time and joining us for this Campfire podcast. Darren Devlin, Councillor and Community Representative with Rural Aid. Thanks for your time.
No worries. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you for listening to the Campfire podcast. For more information regarding Campfire, please visit the National Centre for Farmer Health website. All information is accurate at the time of release. This podcast was developed by the National Centre for Farmer Health and is funded by the Victorian State Government's WorkSafe, WorkWell Mental Health Improvement Fund.